I hope that you had a good one. I'm going to be coming out of the book of Judges, chapter 16. And I've got a couple of volunteers that are going to help me this morning with the message. But if I had a title for this message this morning, it would be Get a Grip. Get a grip. If you can look back over your life in 2010 and answer this question, did you have a grip on your life or did life have a grip on you? It's very easy. Because see, we get so wrapped up in the cares of this world and the things of life that before we know it, we tend to let things take charge of our lives and we're no longer in control. But you see, that's where we've got to start off this new year today. And I know that some of you maybe already have. There's a lot of people that make New Year's resolutions, what I'm going to do better this year than I did last year. But you know, the Scripture says, it would be better for a man not to vow a vow unto God than to vow a vow and not keep it. In other words, if you're going to tell God you're going to do something, do it. Brother Greg is going to come up here and he's going to sit in one of these chairs with me this morning. He's going to be Brother Samson. And I've got somebody else that will be coming up in just a minute to be Delilah. But one thing about Brother Samson here, before we get into the 16th chapter, here's Brother Samson is a very strong man. Why did you put your shirt and coat back on, brother? They could have saw them muscles. Oh, okay. Brother Samson was such a strong man that it said in chapter 15 and verse 15 that he took the jawbone of a donkey and slew 1,000 people. That's pretty good. Right? That's having a good grip on things, right? You're in charge. You've got all that strength. In verse 1 of chapter 16, it says this. Let's read some, and I want to read some other scriptures here that I've got wrote down that I want to bring out before I really get into this message. But let's read something. It said, Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went to enter her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet all the night, saying, In the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. Verse 3, And Samson lay till midnight and arose. Listen to this part right here. Listen to this. It said, And Samson arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them. Now, who in the world would want to fool around with somebody like that? See, he was a man of strength, but he was also a man that had a physical body just like we do. You see, we think in our lives, and I've heard people tell me this, well, Brother Doug, I couldn't do any better. I done the best I could. No, if it wasn't the best we could do, it wasn't the best. In other words, if we got Jesus Christ in our lives, there's not anything that should be able to conquer us, overtake us, or get a grip on us. But what we have to do in this new year is we have to get a grip on our lives and shake ourselves and realize that we are not in charge of our lives. It's Jesus Christ that is in charge of our lives. And it's when we recognize that it's Jesus that's in control and not us that's in control. And when you get a grip on that and realize, okay, God, I've done all I know to do. What do I do now? He said, it's time to listen to me. There's a scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. It says this, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The enemy is after you to destroy you. If you are a child of God and you know the Lord, the enemy is all about you trying to destroy you. He is trying to get you wrapped up in the cares of this world and your problems. It's easy when something happens to us. The first thing we want to do is feel sorry for ourselves, especially when we do something wrong. We want to feel sorry for ourselves. We want to go through a poor pity trip. And then rather than look up to God and say, God, I made a mistake. I realize now that I can't make it without you. But remember something. You have power through Jesus Christ over everything that comes against you. The only thing and the only problem that a lot of people have is when they don't realize where their strength comes from. I used a scripture the other day in Psalms chapter 121 where it said that I lifted up my eyes unto the hills from which cometh our help. First of all, you got to realize that Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll be with you always, even to the end. So when He's doing that, He's telling you, you're not by yourself. So quit going up in a corner and acting like that you're all alone when you're not. So what you have to do is you have to get a grip on yourself and say, wait a minute. I used to have a grip with God. I used to be able to withstand all these things. And remember something. He's only allowing you to go through things to grow you, to make you stronger. But a lot of people don't handle them that well. Rather than accept it and go stronger in it, they let it just get a grip on them and then they don't know what to do. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a man called Jesus that can help you through any problem and any situation and any circumstance. Maybe you're going to look back over 2010 and realize there were a lot of things that you could have done better or that you didn't do that you should have done. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. You don't have to leave this place this morning the same way you came in. And Brother Trent and the praise team were singing, we are free from all these things. We don't have to be bound up. We don't have to have these things having a grip on us, but we should have a grip on them, and we can, not in ourselves, but in the Jesus Christ that lives in us. Amen. You can look at here and type a phrase. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Stay with me for a little while. We're going somewhere here. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So many times people make the excuse, and I just mentioned it this a minute ago. So many people say, well, I just couldn't overcome it. I just had to give in to it. There was no way I could do it. It just overcame me so fast, I just couldn't say no. You didn't say no because you didn't want to say no. You let things happen to you because you want them to happen to you. Because we don't have to let them happen to us because Jesus Christ is stronger than any problem that we have. But you got to understand something here. What does it say in the first part? It says, submit yourselves unto God. In other words, first of all, you got to die to yourself. Crucify this old body, and you got to look to where your help comes from. In other words, a lot of people like to just use the part of the scripture where it says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Well, that's part of it, but then you got to go back and do the rest of it where it says, submit yourself unto the Lord. Resist the devil, and then he has to go somewhere. He has to leave you alone. You got to understand something. Remember, there is power in the name of Jesus. You've got to start exercising the faith and the source of power that you have and realize that it's not about you. It's not all in you, but it's in Jesus Christ that lives in you. Verse 8 says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. So many people don't want to draw nigh to God. They don't want to read the Word. You see, the Word being our roadmap to glory is what we need to read and understand that gives us the ability to be who we are in Jesus Christ is by knowing what the Word says. And we've talked about this so many times, Brother Kenneth and I, different ones, have talked about this, about why we need to hide the Word of God in our heart. And remember something, when we hide the Word of God in our heart, let me say, one of my attributes, or not one of my greatest attributes, is my memory. I have a hard time sometimes remembering things. But yet, when I get to talking to somebody about the Lord, then I don't have trouble with Scriptures, because if I stored it in here, then He's going to bring it back to my memory when I need it. And see, what would help a lot of us even more, if we would store more of God's Word in our heart, then we wouldn't have to worry about something slipping out that shouldn't be in there. Woo-hoo. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. In other words, He says, I want you to either be for me or against me. Right? Let's go to another one. Isaiah 59 and 19. I want you to write these down because you need to read them and remember something. What I'm trying to get across to you is this. There's no excuses. We can make it in this life if we want to. We do not have to be bound up by the cares of this world. We do not have to be wrapped up in all these things. God gives us the strength and the power through Him that we can say no and we don't have to do all these things. Does it mean we're not going to go through problems? No! Does it mean we're not going to have circumstances in our life? No! But what it does mean is that through His help, we can make it! I'm going to tell you something. You may want to live in the misery and the mully grubs and all that kind of stuff, but I know I serve a living, victorious Jesus that lives in my heart and life. And He said, I could tread upon serpents, I could do all those things because He lives in me, but I have to remember and recognize that it's Him that lives in me and it's not anything about me. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west. And His glory from the rising of the sun. Listen to this now. Or let me just throw a question here like I would do in Sunday school. Can anybody make you do anything against your will? You don't have to say that out loud. But most of the time, people can't make you do anything that you don't want to do, can they? Of course, sometimes people may offer you money or they may offer you different things and they may promise you a lot of things. But really and truly, nobody can make you do something you don't want to do. So it says here, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. In other words, anything. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people sometimes that we hang around that we don't need to hang around. There's a lot of places sometimes we go that we don't need to go, and then we wonder why we get ourselves in the situations and the predicaments that we get ourselves in. It's because we haven't got a big enough grip on God for when He tells us, no, you don't need to do this, no, you don't need to go there, no, you don't need to do all these things, but we say, but Lord, it'll be all right. I'm not really going to get that involved. I'm not really going to do this. But He says, like we read in the other Scripture where it says, submit yourself unto the Lord. But you've got to understand something. You've got to do your part. But remember, He said, I won't let any temptation or anything come upon you, no greater than you can bear, that I won't make a way of escape for. Are you getting this morning? Go back to Judges chapter 16. Let's talk about Samson over here. I don't want him to think I forgot about him. Strong man. Full of strength. As it said that he picked up the doorpost of the gates of the city with a post. And he took them with him and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. Delilah, come on up here with me. Joanna's going to be. And I told him this morning before the service started, I said, "It's not. I'm not depicting what your life is now. I'm just letting you be examples in my message." You see, a lot of times in our lives, there's things that we love. Come on now. There's things that we love, there's people that we love, that we allow them and those things to come in between us and God. Hello? Sometimes because we listen too long or entertain it too long, and maybe they mean good, but we know better. So in other words, what we're supposed to do is, We listen to them and we hang out with them, and then when we know we shouldn't, but you see, sometimes it's in our own family. But see, God gives us enough ability and enough knowledge in His Word to know what we need to do. Let's read something here. This is getting interesting here. It says, and it came to pass afterward, talking about Samson, that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. And the Lord of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her. Now see, the Philistines were using Delilah to try to get at Samson. Do you understand sometimes that something may happen to your kids, or your kids may go through things, or maybe other family members in your life may go through things, and he may be using them to get to you? And I'm going to tell you right quick. As much as I love my children, see, the enemy could sometimes try to use my kids to get to me. And it would be hard to see them go through some things sometimes because I love them so much. Come on now. You've got people that you love and people that you're close to that sometimes may be the very one that might entice you, but yet you have to draw the line and say, no, I've just got to hold on and do better. But see, the Philistines came to Delilah. They had heard what kind of a man that Samson was. Let me ask you something else here. Let me throw in something else here. What kind of reputation have we built up? What people can say about us, well, you know, you might ought to watch out for them. They know the Word. They love God. They sold out to God. And I know that God walks with them and talks with them and is with them. What kind of a lifestyle are people seeing in us? Come on now. Boy, y'all mighty quiet this morning. So it said that the Philistines came unto her, entice him, and see wherewith his strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. There's always a motive. You remember, when Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, he thought he was getting some good money. He thought something good was happening to him. But when he realized and saw what was really happening and how Jesus was being treated and how he was being crucified and all those things, it said that he went back to the people that he got the money from and offered it back to them, and they said, we don't want it back. You've done accomplished all we wanted you to accomplish. So it said that he throws the money on the ground, went and he hung himself. He realized the mistake that he had made. So you see, there's a lot of times the enemy wants to get at you. Because if he can get at you, he can affect the people that are around you. You got to understand that. See, there's a lot of people watching their lives, and all we have to do is fall, and when we fall, we take people down with us. But we don't think about that. A lot of times when we're out there in the pleasures of this world or doing things, the only person we're concerned about is ourselves. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withers that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withes that had not been dried, and she bound him with them. It said, now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. Well, I'm telling you the truth, when you're working against somebody, you got everybody there, all you need, everybody laying in wait. See, the enemy is just laying in wait, waiting for you to do something, and after you do something, he's going to tell you how sorry you are, and how bad you are, and that you're not worth God loving you anymore, that you might as well throw in the towel, throw up your hands and quit, because it's just not worth it anymore. But you got to understand something. All the devil is a liar, and he wants to sidetrack you, because he knows where he's going, and he wants to take everybody with him that he can. Now there were men, verse 9. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withers as a thread of tow is broken when it touches the fire, so his strength was not known. Here you go. Listen to this now. You got to catch all this as you get through it. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And those of you that are married and have husband and wife, if your wife came up to you and wanted to find out something from you, and she found out that you didn't tell her the truth, and you told her a story, do you think she'd get upset at you? Or vice versa, if your wife told you something, husband, and it wasn't the truth, don't you think you might get a little bit upset? Don't shake your head and say, no, you, it wouldn't be you. I know. But it said here, and Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, verse 11, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Here again, she was tempting him again. She was coming to him again. And it's all about like, if you love me, if you love me. Can I tell you something? The enemy's not going to leave you alone. He knows what your weakness is. He knows what binds you up. He knows what gets to you. And He's going to keep exploiting it until you finally just submit yourself unto the Lord, like the Scripture says, and resist the devil and tell him where to get off to. But so many times, he catches us in a position, maybe we're having a bad day. Maybe we're having a low moment in our life. Maybe we're going through some things in our life that maybe we don't want anybody to know about. Maybe there's some things happening to us. So he catches us in a weak moment. And before we know it, we've done give in to what he's trying to get after us with. But you see, the mistake that a lot of people make when they do that is that when he gets them down and when that thing happens, he tries to keep them down. But I'm going to tell you something. It talks about in the Scripture where it says, it's not those that are down and what you do when you're down, but it's those that when you get down, you get back up. And you keep on going. So Delilah took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liars in wait, abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like the thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, hear thereto, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Boy, I imagine now, she was really getting hot. Hello? Had anybody ever do you that way? Don't raise your hand. But see, the enemy is a deceiver. He's trying to destroy you and get at you. So it said, he said unto her, well, they said, the Philistine be upon thee, and there were liars. And Delilah said unto Samson, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web, verse 14, and she hastened it with the pen, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went with the pin of the beam and with the web. In other words, she still didn't get the truth from him. Got to be a little bit more persuasive, I guess, huh? There are people that the enemy can put in your life. See, there's people in your life that can get to you. Right? There's people in your life that know how to pull your strings. You may never want to admit it, but there are people in your life that know how to get to you. But yet, it's up to us if we allow that to happen. Let's go on so we can finish the story. And he said unto her, and she said unto him, here it goes right here. How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? You say you love me, but you're telling me all these stories, and it's proving something different. We tell God with our mouth that we love Him, but with our actions and the lives that we live prove something different. We enter this church to worship Him. We depart to serve. But I'm going to tell you something. When we say we're who we are with Jesus, that's what we need to be wherever we go on our jobs and everything that we do. He said to be an example of the believer in word and deed and our actions and everything that we do. So if we profess to love Jesus, let's back it up with our word. Let me just put it this way. If your wife looks at you and tells you she loves you, or your husband looks at you and tells you that he loves you, or your children look at you and tell you that they love you, do you believe what they say by their words? Or do you believe it more by their actions? See, I could tell you today that I love you and not mean it. You could tell me today that you love me and not mean it. So in other words, it's more to it than just lip service. We got to show God with our actions, and with our actions means praying and fasting and reading the Word and being a child of God like we're supposed to be and doing what we're supposed to do, living the kind of life we're supposed to live. But see, what's happening to us there is we're instead of spending time with God, reading and praying and studying and doing all those things, we're allowing these other things of the world, the cares of this world, and all these things to get a hold of our hearts and lives and bind us up to keep us from doing what we need to do. Brother Kenneth, Brother Sam, and myself were at Sister Betty Johnson's house Thursday night. had a tremendous vigil, we had a tremendous prayer. But right when we got ready to pray, I'm talking about I hadn't even started praying, the phone rang. We'd been there a long time, the phone hadn't even rung. Have you ever started praying before or started doing something for God, something I always want to get your attention? But we went ahead and prayed anyway. They had to call back or do something. We didn't ask, she didn't answer the phone. So it said here, verse 15, and she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lies. And most of the time, most of us would have already took the chair and moved it on to the other side of the room or either just got up and walked out of the room. You don't have to say nothing. You know what we're talking about. Boy, after you done me that way three times, I'm not going to have anything to do with you anymore. Come on now. Just be like you want to be. So you see, for Samson messed up, he kept listening to her. And I'm not saying don't listen to your husband or your wife. I'm not saying that. But see, where he messed up was he just kept on listening to her. And she finally said, oh, you've got a poor way of showing me how much you love me. We got a poor way sometimes of showing God how much we love Him. So it said, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words. She got your, she pulled your strength. I know she knows how to get to you. Hallelujah. It said, and when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, thou hast not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. You see, we entertain the devil long enough, we let him play with us long enough or flirt with us long enough, then before we know it, we're giving in to him. And it may not be no major thing, but I'm here to tell you something. The biggest mistake we make is when we, it says, give no place to the devil. In other words, we don't need to give him any time. He already knows your weaknesses. He already knows how to get to you, but it's, he can't get to us unless we allow it. And when Delilah saw that he had told her finally, with all of her, his heart, where his strength really lied. It said that they came in. She sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. They paid her off. She was saying, Samson, if you love me, you'll tell me where your strength lies. So was she? Did she really love him? Or was she knowing that she was going to get a payoff when it came through? It said, and she made him sleep. See there? Caused a trance to come on herself. Just something about that woman. That's just something about the devil that can get to you and cause these things to happen. Because remember something. The devil can't make you do anything you don't want to do because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. All you've got to do is rebuke him in Jesus' name and he has to go. We allow things to come on our lives, as I said earlier. We allow things to bind us up. So it said here that she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Remember something here. He once had a grip with God. Not only was he strong physically, but he had a grip with God. But when the enemy shaved off the locks of his head where that a razor had never touched, he lost all of his strength. Listen to this. Then the lords, verse 23, let's get back to 23. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. Why can't we allow our God to deliver the enemy into our hands and probably not, rather than us be delivered into the enemy's hands? Because we have more power. And when verse 24, and when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God hath delivered him, delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson of the prison of the house, and he made them sport, and they sat between the pillars. But now, one thing about it here, let me go back here. They bound him. See, they bound him and took him and made sport of him. You see, a man that used to be strong in God was no energy anymore, no strength. It said, and Samson said unto the lad, come up here with me just a minute. It said that they poked Samson's eyes out to where and he was blind. And they brought him in to make sport with him. Because the guy that used to slay all these people was now helpless. He had no more energy anymore, neither did they fear him. So when they brought him in for sport, he went to a lad. I want to read it here, so I don't want you to catch it all. And verse 26, and Samson said unto the lad, I want you to act like there's a post on each side of you. Can you do that? So you can reach out. You know what I'm talking about? This old. It said, and Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Samson had a plan. Remember something here. No matter what we've done in our lives, no matter what has had us bound up in our lives, God has never forgotten us. God has never forgotten us. It said, now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. Remember something here. God is going to have the last word in your life. Now, you may think, well, no, I'm in control of my life. No, you're really not. And when you die, you're really not in control, because one day you're going to stand before Him, and if you were living the life you thought you wanted to live, then you're not going to want to hear what He has to say. Just remember that God is in control of our life, and there's not anything that can take control of our lives if God is in control. So it said, and Samson, listen to this, verse 28. Here's where a lot of people make mistakes. When they make mistakes, they don't realize, hey, I just made a mistake. God will forgive me of my mistake. All I got to do is call on Him. So it said that Samson put his hands on the two main beams of this Colosseum, this big arena, this place where he was. And it said, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray Thee, and strengthen me, I pray Thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, and of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. Remember something. When they cut the locks off his head, his strength was gone. But God replenished his strength. When you realize that you can't make it on your own, when you realize you got to have God in your life, God will give you all the strength you need to face all the obstacles. And it doesn't make any difference what you've gone through. It doesn't make any difference what you've done. All you got to do is look up to Jesus and say, Lord, I made a mistake. I know that my strength lies in You, and I can't make it by myself anymore. So it says that Samson pushed on the pillars. Do it with all your might. So just act like you got big pillars there. Yeah. And Samson let me die with the Philistines, and he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew in his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah, his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. Thank you, guys. I got one more example. Could I get the band come back up? Help me out just a little bit. Play me a little bit of music. Sing me a song. Yes. I got one more example I want to use. As you stand with me all over the building, please. As long as we're here today, as long as there's breath in our body, there's hope for us. I don't care if you look back over 2010 and you've done some awful things, or maybe your life hadn't met up to par with what Jesus wants. I'm here to tell you something today. If you've let things take a grip on your life and you can't shake them, Jesus is here to help you loose those bonds. I'm going to get Brother Sam, would you come up here a minute? Come up right up here with me. I want you to watch this very closely, guys. It's not what has a grip on us, but it should be what we have a grip on. Stand right there, Brother Sam. There was a story in the Bible when it talks about the disciples were in a boat. My Lord, I feel His presence here this morning. God's wanting to do something here. I know we all came down to the altar, but there's some things that we faced in our lives that we need God. And it doesn't mean that you've gone out and sinned. It just maybe there's some things that had you bound up. Maybe there's some things that had a grip on your life that kept you from doing what you needed to do for Jesus. 2011 is a brand new year. It's a brand new time to start for Jesus. The disciples were in the boat. The storm came up. Jesus came walking on the water. Brother Sam's going to be Peter for me. Peter hollers out. He said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me that I may come to you." Jesus said, "Come on." When Peter stepped out of the boat, he was doing fine as long as his eyes were focused on Jesus. It's when we take our eyes off Jesus, that's when we start losing our grip. That's when we start losing our walk. It's when we start letting other things get a hold of us and grip us and grab a hold of our life. And then we're no good to the kingdom, because we've allowed the cares of this world. So Peter came walking slowly. He walked slowly. He had his eyes focused on Jesus, remember. But after he took a few steps, he noticed the storms were around him. What happened? That meant that he took his eyes off of Jesus. And he started noticing the circumstances around him. So it said that he sank. He was still down right there, brother. So it said that he sank down. And he said, "Jesus, save me. I'm going to drown." Listen to this. It said that Jesus reached down. And he said, "Get a grip. Grab hold. I'm not going to let you drown. You belong to me." There's some of you here. You think you just can't make it. Your life is over. You're ready to throw in the towel and quit. But Jesus said, "Just grab a hold. Get a grip. Put your hand in my hand." And he pulled him up. This morning, I know what time it is. I know service group's coming up. I know we've already had an altar service. Some of you here today, your grip's got weak. You've lost your grip. You look back over 2010, and there's places we could all improve and do better. 2011, I want to win 3 times as many souls as I won in 2010. But there's things in our lives that have got a grip on us, and we can't shake them. And we feel like the water's coming in over our heads, and we're going to drown. But Jesus said, get a grip. Grab hold. And it says that after Jesus and Peter got back in the boat, that Jesus spoke to the storm. The wind ceased. The storm calmed. Because Jesus was on board. There's some storms maybe going on in your life today. But there are. There's some things that have bound you up and you just can't get free from. I want you to just step out real quick.